about the Antichrist. When we talk about the Antichrist, could have been one of two things. Either someone who denied the deity of Jesus, denied that Jesus was God, or on the other hand, someone who denied that God had become flesh, or that Christ was a human being. And that's what John tells us in the first and second John, that is what the Antichrist is. And so we have studied then about the deity of Christ, his divinity, that Jesus was in fact God. But there was no doubt about it. And so we looked at that side of it, and we answered those questions. Today and next week, we want to look at the other side. I was going to put it all together, but when I started looking at it, there was a lot here. So this morning, we're going to study the lesson, Behold the Man. Now we talked in class this morning, obviously we can't just say that Jesus was only a man. We know he was God. We talked about that already. But sometimes, we kind of forget that he was a man. He was a human being, flesh and blood. And so we want to look at those things in the scriptures that bring that out to us. First of all, in John chapter 19 and verse number 5, we see the scripture from which we get the title of our lesson. It says, Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. This was just before his crucifixion. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. He didn't say behold the spirit, or behold this ghost, or behold this thing that appears to be a man, but really isn't. He said behold the man. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, which emphasizes his humanity. 80 times in the four Gospels, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. He wants to make it clear to everybody that he is a human being. Just like they are. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. John says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Now there is a little distinction there between seen with our eyes and looked upon. He talks about you just see something, or you really look at something. He says, We saw it, and we looked. We looked upon it. And then he says, And our hands have handled of the word of life. He wants to make it clear to people that Jesus was the Spirit. Our hands handled him. He touched him. We know he wasn't a spirit. He arms go right through him. He was a flesh and blood human being. And then, of course, the scripture that John was read for us a while ago is the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14. This isn't on your outline, but it's also an appropriate verse. That the Word became flesh. And the Word we know is Jesus. And the same is that Jesus became flesh. Dwelt among us. So he was a man. And now we're going to see this. We only have one main point this morning. We only usually have three or four or sometimes five. But we're only have one this morning. People thought he was a man. Now, most of the time, I don't know about you, but I can tell the difference between a person and, say, an animal. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between a person and maybe a picture on a magazine or something. You know the difference. You know the difference even between a person and, say, Star Trek and all these futuristic shows, they have these holographic images. Well, it looks real, but you can tell the difference. When you get close enough, put your hands through that, that's not real. Did you really have a little thing? It's not big enough to put a person in, but you put a little coin or something down at the bottom of that thing, and it looks like it's just right there, and you reach out to grab it, and there's nothing there. It looks real, but when you try to touch it, it's not real. So, we can tell the difference. We have to use our five senses a lot of times to figure something like that out, maybe. And that's certainly no cases where you had trouble saying that. Is that a man or a woman? But you tell it's a person, nonetheless. People thought he was a man. That's one of the greatest evidences of his humanity that there was. People recognize other people. They know the difference between a person and something else. So let's look at some of the people who thought he was a man. We've got a bunch of them. Hey, bunch of them. The disciples in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. But the men mocked him, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's when Jesus calms the storm for the disciples. What manner of man is he? They say, what manner of spirit he is? Something like that. They say, what manner of man is he? Peter, also in Matthew 26 and verse 74, says, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now, he says that twice in just a few verses that just before that. He also has said almost exactly the same thing. He said, I know not the man. They accused him of knowing Jesus, and he said, I don't know the man. But if he acknowledged that Jesus was a man, he just claimed he didn't know who was knowing. And then in Acts 2, in verse 22, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. So Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, he said, I know he was a man that was approved by God. You know he was a man that was approved of God. He was a man. And everybody knew it. And then we see people from his hometown. They grew up. Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Look at Pilate. We read, behold the man just a moment ago. John 18, 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? John 19 and 5, he said, is where he said this, behold the man. Luke 23 and 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests of the people, I find no fault in this man. Luke 23 and verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. What about Jesus? Luke 23, 13 and 14, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, he hath brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And yet, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you teach him. So several times in Pilate's examination of Jesus and his trial, he said, that's a man. It's amazing, isn't it, how much we see. It's almost as though the Bible went out of its way to make it clear that Jesus was a man. We haven't even begun yet. Pilate's wife, in Matthew 27, 19, there was a soldier who was witnessing his death in Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. So truly this man was the Son of God. A centurion that Jesus helped. He healed the centurion's servant for him. Luke chapter 7 and verse 8. This man says, for I also am a man. Talking to Jesus, he says, I also am a man. He recognized, we're the same. We're both dead. I am and you are. Then a Pharisee, in Luke 7:39, the Pharisee had invited Jesus to his house. A simple woman came up to Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. The Pharisee saw that and he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that touches him. He said, this man. Then we see the chief priest, the scribe, and the Pharisee. Luke chapter 15 and verse 2. Pharisee, the scribe, said, this man, in John 9:16, they said, this man is not of God. But others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. They couldn't agree about Jesus. They couldn't agree about whether he was the Son of God or not, or whether God was with him or not. But they both groups agreed that he was a man. So even then, even his enemies agreed that he was a man. Some of us. And there are, believe it or not, there are religious groups today claiming to be Christian in order to put it out that Jesus was a man. They say he was some sort of spirit being, or he only had the appearance of a man. This doctrine is called Gnosticism, G-O-T-E-T-I-S-M. And it's the doctrine that Jesus only appeared to have a human body, that he wasn't really a human being. But then we see more and more Johnny Mother 47 as well. All opposed to the T3. As the Pharisees all agreed that he was a man. The demon was crucified with him. Said, but this man has done nothing. A centurion. We saw a soldier earlier who was watching his death. Well, here's a centurion who was watching his death also. Luke 23 and verse 47. He saw what was coming. He said, certainly this was a righteous man. John the Baptizer. Often referred to as John the Baptist. John chapter 1 and verses 29 to 30. John sees Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And in John 3, 26 and 27, again, he responds when he claims Jesus is baptizing. He says, a man can receive nothing except the kingdom of heaven. So he acknowledges again that Jesus. Nicodemus, Nicodemus referred to him as a teacher in Israel. He said, are you a teacher in Israel? You don't know these particular things that they were discussing. But this same person, Nicodemus, in John chapter 3 and verse 2, comes to Jesus. And he comes at night because he's afraid of the other Pharisee. He says, we know not a teacher comes from God, for no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. And then in John 7, verses 50 and 51, Nicodemus says to the other Pharisee, does our law judge any man before I hear him? Then we see the Samaritan woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse 29, she tells the people, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Christ? The Jews, some of them who were on the verge of believing in him, and some of them who hated him with a passion, whatever it was, they all agreed that he was a human being. John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. They said, what man is that which said to thee, take up thy bed, talking about Jesus? In John 6, verse 52. The Jews, after he had taught them about the extremities and about the Lord suffering, tell them they would have to eat of his flesh, drink his blood. They said, how can this man give up his flesh to eat? The man's flesh. The real person. Some people try to make Jesus out to be a legend, or even a myth, that he wasn't a real person, but all of these people saw him. They had conversations with him. They even, many of them touched him. They knew he was a person. And in John 7 and 15, John 10, 33, John 11, 36 and 37, John 18 and verse 40, John 19 and verse 12, all of these are cases where the Jews cried out about Jesus, said something about him being a man. And then the people in Jerusalem, who I guess would also be Jews, John 7 and verse 12, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. But some said he's a good man. Others said, nay, that he could tease the people. So there was a disagreement again, but not about whether he was a man. The disagreement was about whether he was good or evil. Not about whether he was a man, but that was never under debate. Also in John 7, 27, they talk about him as a man. Then the officers, the Pharisees sent some men to arrest Jesus, to bring him back and king. And they came back and they didn't have him. They said, well, why didn't you bring him back with you? Why didn't you arrest him? And they said, never a man spake like this man. No man ever talked like him. No other man did the things that Jesus did or said the things that Jesus said. A blind man that Jesus healed, John 9 and verse 11. Jesus touched this man's eyes with his speech. A legend can't do that. Take the real flesh and put the blood first. John 9:11 and John 9:31-33. Most places this blind man talks about being a man. Then the believers, John chapter 10 and verses 41-42. They came back to him and said, John didn't do any miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and because of that many believed on him, because of the things John had said about this man. Then Caiaphas, one of Jesus' worst enemies, the high priest, condemn Jesus as one of the ringleaders of having him killed. John 11:49-50, Caiaphas said, "He knows nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people." He was prophesying and didn't even know about Jesus' death and what it would do. But there he was, one man died. Then we see Paul in Acts 13:38-39. He says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brothers, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin." Through Jesus. That we can be justified from all things which could not be justified by the law of Moses. Then in Acts 17:31, he also says that he that being God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. How he raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus is the Lord then. That he's going to, it'll be through him that he's going to judge the world, that God's going to judge the world through Jesus. Then the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 8:3 and in Hebrews 10:10-13, both of these places refers to him being a man. Chapter 8:3, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of a necessity that this man have someone also to offer some Jesus." Now he can be our high priest. It has something to offer. That's what priests did. They made offerings and sacrifices. And then, of course, Jesus himself calls himself a man. John 8:39-40. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father, Jesus said unto him. If he were Abraham's servant, he would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This is not Abraham." He says, "I'm a man. I'm a man that told you the truth." And then in John 15:24 also, "So if I had not done among them the work which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Because I did things that no other man did." Jesus was a man. He couldn't have said no other man. He would have just had to say that no man did. He said, "Well, I'm God, I'm not a man, so if I did things that no man could have, he said no other man." Just like when we say, if I were to say no other man in this congregation, I'd be including myself as a man. I would never say no other women in this congregation can do what I do. No other women, well, that's making me a woman. We use the phrase no other. By the nature of the English language and other languages as well, putting yourself as a part of that group that you're claiming. That's why we don't talk about, for example, other denominations. If we say other denomination, we're making the Church of Christ a denomination and not. We speak of denominations. Because that's what they are. But we're not a denomination. If we say other denomination, we've made ourselves a denomination. We have to be careful with the words we use. But Jesus used those words quite correctly. He was making it clear that he was a man. No other man could do these things. So, what does this tell? Obviously, we see his friends, his closest companions, his enemies, people he had just met, he himself, all these people thought Jesus was a man, or at least said he was mankind, a man. If Jesus was not a man, then all of these people were either fools or they were lost. That's a lot of people. If you look down that road, that's a lot of people involved in this whole situation. And all of them were either fools for believing Jesus was a man, or else they were lying about him. So now, why would that be? Certainly, if his enemy and his friend were both in agreement that he was a man, well, there'd be no reason for both groups to lie about it. You could make the argument that one group might lie about it. But why would both groups lie about it? They always say, if your friend and your enemy tell you the same thing, you can believe it. Now, if your friend tells you something, they may just be trying to flatter you. If your enemy tells you something, they may just be trying to get the best of you because they don't like it. But if your friend and your enemy both tell you the same thing, But that's pretty trustworthy for me. Because it's not going to be very often that your friends and your enemies agree, but Jesus' friends and enemies agree with him that he loved me. But this is just people saying things. Next week, we're going to look at more than just these people saying things. We'll see what he did to show that he was indeed human. It's important for us to grasp the humanity of Christ, because sometimes we put him upside. We know he was God. We understand that he's far above us in that sense. But we have to understand that he did come to this earth, that he did become flesh and blood. He was a human being. Because there are a lot of things that come along with that teachings about him that could not be true if he were not a man. But we're going to look at those things next week, and we'll continue this study then. But if you're here this morning, maybe you haven't done what Pilate said. Pilate said, "Behold the man." Take a good, long look at Jesus. What do you see? A Savior waiting and willing for you to come to him. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you're not given your life to Christ, you need to do that this morning. If you believe that he is the Son of God, and that he was a man who lived on this earth and died and was raised again, as the Bible tells us he was, that's what the gospel is. The good news that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. Death and burial and his resurrection. Well, so that's the gospel. That's the good news. If you believe that, and he said, "You must believe that I am here, you shall die in sin." You believe it. You're willing to repent of your sins. He said, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." You're willing to repent of your sins and confess him as the Christ, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Matthew chapter 8, verses 36 to 38. And if after that, you're willing to submit yourself to be baptized, be immersed in water as Jesus commanded, he to believe in and is baptized, he said. All this look back, that's commanded time and time again. You're willing to do those things. You can become a Christian. You can become one of his followers. If you're here and you've been a Christian, but perhaps have not lived as you should, and you've done all those things, but then you've fallen away,